because I'll have to speak in front of very senior Vaishnavas, and so I can only say something if you give me your permission and blessings. Hare Krishna. So today we will continue reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, entitled Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. And so today we're going to read through texts 17 to 21, and 21 is on board, so we'll chant it responsively. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyanandana Shalakaya Chakshurangritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Text 17. Hiranyakashipu Bhratu Samparitasya dukkitaha kritva katoda kadini pratrit putran asantayat. After performing the ritualistic observances for the death of his brother, Hiranyakashipu, being extremely unhappy, tried to pacify his nephews. Shakunim sambaram drishtim Bhutasanta panambrikam kalanabham mahan nabham harishmashtum atokacham tanmataram rushabanum ditim cha dananim gira slakshnaya deshakalagya idamaha janeshwaram. O King, Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry, but since he was a great politician, he knew how to act according to the time and situation. With sweet words, he began pacifying his nephews, whose names were Shakuni, Shambara, Drishti, Bhuta, Santapana, Brika, Kalanaba, Mahanaba, Harishmashru, and Utkacha. He also consoled their mother, his sister-in-law, Rishabhanu, as well as his own mother, Diti. He spoke to them all as follows. And the Sanskrit of the text 20 is very interesting. Take a note of that. Shri Hiranyakashipur Uvacha Ambamba he vadha vadu putra biram marhatta shuchitum ripor abhimukhe stakhyam shuranam vadha ipsitaham. Hiranyakashipu said, "My dear mother, sister-in-law and nephews, you should not lament for the death of the great hero, for a hero's death in front of his enemy is glorious and desirable." And so text 21 is on the board. Please let's chant responsively. Bhutanam iha sambasa Bhutanameha sambasa. Prapayam iva subrate. Prapayam iva subrate. Daivenaikatra nitanam. Daivenaikatra nitanam. Unnitanam svakarmabhi. Unnitanam svakarmabhi. Bhutanameha sambasa. Prapayam iva subrate. Daivenaikatra nitanam. Unnitanam svakarmabhi. Please repeat. Bhutanameha sambasa. Prapayam iva subrate. Ladies, please. Bhutanameha sambasa. Prapayam iva subrate. Devena katte nitanam. Unitanam svakarma bhi. Bhutanameha sambasa. Prapayam iva surate. Daivena katra nitanam. Unitanam svakarma bhi. Synonyms, please repeat. Bhutanam. Of all living entities. Iha. In this world. Sambasaha. The living together. Prapayam. In a place for drinking cold water. Iva. Like. Suvrate. O my gentle mother. Daivena. By the superior arrangement. Ekatra. In one place. Nitanam. Of those brought. Unitanam. Of those led apart. Svakarma bhi. By their own reactions. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear mother, in a restaurant or place for drinking cold water, many travelers are brought together and after drinking water, they continue to their respective destinations. Similarly, living entities join together in a family and later, as a result of their own actions, they are led apart to their destinations. Purport. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankaro vimutatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. Bhagavad Gita 3:27. All living entities act exactly according to the directions of Prakriti, material nature, because in the material world we are fully under a higher control. All the living entities in this material world have come here only because they wanted to be equal to Krishna in enjoyment and have thus been sent here to be conditioned by material nature in different degrees. In the material world, the so-called family is a combination of several persons in one home to fulfill the terms of their imprisonment. As criminal prisoners scattered as soon as their terms are over and they are released, all of us who have temporarily assembled as family members will continue to our respective destinations. So all of us are condemned to the material life, but the terms are different. The length of the term is different. That's the only difference. Another example given is that family members are like straws carried together by the waves of a river. Sometimes such straws are mixed together in whirlpools and later dispersed again by the same waves. They float alone in the water. Although Hiranyakashipu was a demon, he had Vedic knowledge and understanding. Thus, the advice given to his family members, his sister-in-law, mother, and nephews, was quite sound. The demons are considered highly elevated in knowledge, but because they do not use their good intelligence for the service of the Lord, they are called demons. The demigods, however, act very intelligently to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13 as follows. Atabumbir vijashestha varnashrama vibhagashaha sanustitasya dharmasya samsidhir haritoshanam. O best, among the twice born is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties, dharma, according to the caste divisions and orders of life, is to please the Lord Hari. To become a demigod or to become godly, whatever one's occupation, one must satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. End of the purport. So we'll read text one more time. Bhutanam iha sambhasaha prapayam iva subrate daivayanai katra nitanam unnitanam svakarma bhi. My dear mother, in a restaurant or place for drinking cold water, many travelers are brought together, and after drinking water, they continue to their respective destinations. Similarly, living entities join together in a family, and later, as a result of their own actions, they are led apart to their destinations. This is a very special part of Srimad Bhagavatam because we hear very deep spiritual instructions from the mouth of one of the greatest demons in the history of the universe, not just this little planet. And so how this is possible? That's actually been hinted in a previous verse wherein Narad Muni, who is actually narrating this story, if you remember from the beginning of the 7th canto, he calls Hiranyakashipu Shri Hiranyakashipu. And so there is a very clear answer why Hiranyakashipu, while being a great demon, he was preaching practically like a devotee. This is something you would hear from devotees, right? There are so many. I mean, Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita was telling pretty much, giving pretty much the same knowledge. And the reason is very simple, that Hiranyakashipu is a devotee. Not only just any devotee, but he is one of the greatest devotees of the Lord. Actually, his service was to be a personal guard at the gates of Vaikuntha. And how come that he became a great demon? Well, he committed an offense towards four Kumaras, and thus he was cursed to become a great demon. But nevertheless, as Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Kauntiya pratijanihina me bhakta pranashati, declare it boldly, Arjuna, my devotee will never perish. The Lord engaged Hiranyakashipu in a pastime for his own pleasure. So he is a devotee playing the role of the demon for the pleasure of the Lord. Nevertheless, for us, this part of Srimad Bhagavatam, because the entire seventh canto actually pretty much dedicated to this story. Narad Muni is telling this story in great details because this is a very important part of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is teaching us very important lessons. And lesson number one is that Hiranyakashipu was one of the greatest devotees in the spiritual world, and he, because he was not careful, he turned into one of the greatest demons. So lesson number one for us, that no matter how high we are in our position in Krishna consciousness, if we're not careful, anything can happen, right? Where the devotees are coming from? where the demons are coming from, right? This is what this part of Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us, to be always careful and never become proud of our great fortune. And Hiranyakashipu was also born from one of the greatest devotees, Kashyapa Muni. And so nevertheless he became a demon, so even being born in devotee family doesn't guarantee anything. So that's lesson number two from this pastime. There are many, many important lessons, and we can understand that the name Hiranyakashipu indicates two things: attachment to Hiranya, which is gold, wealth. We can also say prestige, right? Because Hiranya means to shine, right? Anything shining, so shiny position, prestigious position. And Kashipu means soft bed, sense gratification, right? So he was really into enjoyment. He was really into wealth and everything associated with it, enjoying wealth and enjoying sense gratification. And so these two things were very prominent in Hiranyakashipu's personality: greed and lust. So he was Mr. Greed and Lust personified. Greed plus lust. And then he found an impediment in his sense gratification, that was the Supreme Lord, who was threatening Hiranyakashipu's position. And Hiranyakashipu became angry. And so we just read the part of this second chapter wherein it was explained what Hiranyakashipu have done due to anger. He was killing and destroying everything and everyone to establish his supremacy. This is how demons are acting. They just don't care, right? It's actually interesting. In Kali Yuga, if you want to become famous and enter into the history books, basically you have to kill as many people as you can manage in one lifetime. So the more people you kill, the greater, you know, historical personality you become, right? If we just look into it, all the great, you know, historical personalities, this is what they're famous for. Like Hitler and Stalin and Lenin, right? Killing so many people. And so Hiranyakashipu definitely is one of the historical personalities. And he killed so many people as well. So anger, he's another very prominent feature. And therefore Bhagavad Gita says there are three paths leading to hell: lust, anger, and greed. And any intelligent person must avoid these three gates to hell at any cost. And this is a lesson for us, that there are lessons in Srimad Bhagavatam. What shall we do to become nice devotees? And here in this chapter, the best example of all the devotees is Prahlad Maharaj. Again, very tolerant and very peaceful. And despite of anything Hiranyakashipu did to him, he always remained very positive, and he was even glorifying Hiranyakashipu. He was appreciating him. As we will learn from future verses, he would call Hiranyakashipu Asura-varya, the best of all the demons. He was glorifying him. And we can see that Hiranyakashipu is also appreciated by Narada Muni. In the previous verse, he is calling him Sri Hiranyakashipu. Definitely he was blessed by the goddess of fortune to have a lot of opulence. He was enjoying a lot of opulence. But because he was not using all this opulence in serving Krishna, he was doomed. Even though he was very Krishna conscious. In the beginning, if you remember, there is a verse where Narada Muni says, actually, some people who are focused on Krishna very intensely due to certain emotions they have, they advance very quickly in Krishna consciousness. Much quicker than us, ordinary devotees. Narada Muni includes himself into the category of ordinary devotees. And so he says, he gave examples, and he gave examples that Kamsa, he was fearful of the Lord, and so he couldn't stop thinking of the Lord. And Hiranyakashipu, he was angry with the Supreme Lord, and thus he couldn't stop thinking of the Supreme Lord. And of course he's giving positive examples as well, like gopis. But this is the position. Hiranyakashipu was actually very, very Krishna conscious. And that's why he got an amazing opportunity to get the direct darshan of the Supreme Lord. Of course, he was not too happy about it. And he had to suffer a very painful situation before he left his body. So that's why this kind of focus on the Supreme Lord is called Pratikula Bhakti. So it helps one to advance in Krishna consciousness, but it is very, very painful process. So if we want to avoid experiencing a lot of pain in Krishna consciousness, instead of practicing Pratikula Bhakti, we should shift to Anukula Bhakti. And what is the difference between Anukula Bhakti and Pratikula Bhakti? It is very simple, that Pratikula Bhakti is characterized by the influences of lust, anger, and greed. Very simple. And we can understand that it can happen on individual level, and it can happen on organizational level as well. That in the same way as lust, anger, and greed are the destroying factors in one's individual spiritual life, on organizational level, there are three vices which destroy, you know, many people's spiritual life. And these three vices are corruption. You can very easily notice the connection with greed. Politics, that's connected to anger, criticizing someone or, you know, doing bad things towards other people. Politics and bureaucracy. Bureaucracy, something Srila Prabhupada disliked so much. And so we can say that once we make sure that these three vices become part of history, all our attempts to do what Srila Prabhupada and previous acharyas wanted us to do will meet with so many reverses. And so this is something very practical we can learn. Actually, this is my dream, to see ISKCON completely free from all these negative influences. And hopefully there are a few devotees who share the same desire. But it's not about, you know, because when we speak about certain negative things, we always think, oh, there are people who do bad things and they have to be, you know, hated or whatever. But actually it's not true, because Srila Prabhupada was saying that Jesus Christ is one of our spiritual masters. And he was saying that hate the sin but not the sinner. We can actually see it is very prominent in the characters of great Vaishnavas such as Narad Muni. Even though Hiranyakashipu is an obvious demon, and you cannot find the demon of this caliber, Srila Prabhupada was explaining, in Kali Yuga, but still Narad Muni is making friends with him. He is talking with Hiranyakashipu, you know, in a very friendly way, because for him, Hiranyakashipu is not a demon. He is just an actor in the Lord's pastime. And so Narad Muni is treating Hiranyakashipu as such, as great devotee, playing the part of a demon. So that's the vision of Uttama Adhikari. And we can see that Prahlad Maharaj is the same. He is not upset with Hiranyakashipu because he understands Akaleshvara Krishna Rasava Britya, that Lord Krishna is the master and everyone else is just his servant. And so whatever anyone does is just part of the Lord's plan. Sometimes we may wonder, you know, that in the development of Krishna consciousness, there are so many in the world, we're trying to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, and we expect the world to become place like Vaikuntha. But we can see that it's not happening. And we can see very clearly two tendencies manifesting more and more. One tendency is religious fundamentalism, which is of course characterized by groups like ISIS and others, you know, terrorism, killing so many people, etc. It's all coming from religious fanaticism, thinking that we are the only ones who are right and everyone else should be killed who doesn't accept our supremacy. And another extreme is blunt materialism, where people just degrade themselves to the level which is below animal level, actually. Like, the things they do, even animals don't do. And so we may wonder, you know, how is this happening? Why is this happening? We're trying to spread Krishna consciousness and then the world seems to, you know, Kali Yuga seems to get become worse and worse. Even though we're living in the golden age, it's supposed to get better and better. But yeah, we are in the very beginning of the golden age, and we can see that it's actually part of the Lord's plan. Because the third group of people, also growing in number, and these are the thoughtful people, you know, who see that religious fanaticism is not an answer. It's crazy. And materialism is also crazy. So they're looking for alternative. So actually, these two categories of people are helping us in spreading Krishna consciousness. And, you know, because religious fanatics will kill each other. You know, we just have to let them, you know, do whatever they want to do. And materialists will kill themselves by overindulgence and sense gratification. And so, naturally, only, you know, people who look for alternative will remain. Spiritual people will remain. And so, this is why we don't have to worry that everything is happening in the right way, according to the plan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so, but of course, our part is not to sit idly and watch, you know, people suffer, but we have to do our best to provide the positive alternative and to help people to connect their lives to the service of the Supreme Lord. This is what Srila Prabhupada stresses in the purport. He says, to become a demigod or to become godly, whatever one's occupation, one must satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so, this is what our lives are meant for, to help to connect people to devotional service, one way or the other. Yena tena prakarena mana Krishna niveshayat. So, this is why such great devotees like Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, whose appearance day we celebrate today, are so special, because these are the great personalities who appeared on the planet to assist Srila Prabhupada in his great mission. This is probably the most prominent feature of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, that he was extremely, we can say, creative in terms of figuring out new ways how to introduce Krishna consciousness to more and more people. That Maharaj was revolutionary in a spiritual sense, and he was pioneering on so many fronts in Krishna consciousness. Of course, he was very special personality who could go through so many austerities no one could go through, because his spirit was so powerful. And so boldly he went behind the Iron Curtain to spread Krishna consciousness in completely atheistic and demonic environment. And he was so successful, and he was the first one to actually enter into the United Nations scene and started preaching in the United Nations, and he influenced so many people in a positive way. Actually, there are so many positive changes which are happening on the planet we're not even so much aware of, because we're preoccupied with our own lives, and maybe we only know what's happening within our own society. But there are so many other spiritual groups who are very, very seriously influenced by the ideas found in Srila Prabhupada's books. Actually, we have so many friends and allies we don't even know yet. There are so many people like one very popular spiritual group, which is very open-minded, and the leader is their leader is very generously, you know, using the terms of terms karma and other terms Prabhupada used in his books, and also quoting from Bhagavad Gita, etc. Even though he is a Christian by training, and he became very popular because of his broad-mindedness. He invites all kinds of spiritual groups into his fold, and he is so popular, like 10,000 people come to listen to his talks on weekly basis, nowhere else but in Los Angeles. And he follows, you know, all the regular principles, and used to come to our restaurant to take prasadam, and holds Krishna Day in his church, invites devotees to chant and preach, and all the collection they get, he gives as a donation to the devotees. And devotees came and they said, can we have a stall to distribute books, you know, a little table to distribute books on your ground? He said, why do you need table? And normally other spiritual groups, they rent a stall or table. And he said, why do you need the table? You don't have to pay me anything, but all these people you see, these thousands of people, they are yours. You can go anywhere and everywhere, distribute books, and you don't have to give me anything. This is my service to Krishna. And there are so many people like that, you know, very open-minded, positive. Maybe there are slight differences in our philosophies, but they are very enthusiastic to serve the devotees. And so we were just talking with one of the senior Vaishnavas this morning, and I was contemplating on this point that Prabhupada's original strategy was not to officially convert someone to make him join the organization formally, but to engage people in devotional service. And from that engagement, all the good fortune would come. And whether people will want to join officially or not, that connection with devotional service will benefit them. In any case, and so that was his strategy. And I was thinking, if we will start thinking past, you know, recruiting people, how to engage more and more people in devotional service, will become so much more successful. And so Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was so creative in that sense. He was discovering so many noble ways, as Prabhupada mentions in the first canto, that devotees have to discover so many noble ways how to reach out to many people with Krishna conscious ideas. And Maharaj was very exemplary in that sense. And hopefully devotees will attend there are memories dedicated to Maharaj today. What time? Starting at 10 o'clock. So please. In a community hall, so please attend that. Listen to the glories of Maharaj, because he was really extra special personality. So much loved by Srila Prabhupada. And so tomorrow, I know that there is a Bhagavatam class also dedicated to his glories. So these personalities, they actually make history. They introduce so many amazing things. They change the world. Even this wonderful book by our greatest preacher, as acknowledged by everyone at the moment, Srila Radhanath Maharaj, and his journey home that we owe to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, to that, because without his encouragement and actually insistence that he made Radhanath Maharaj promise to write this book would never see, you know, would never appear. So there were so many contributions Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj left behind, and even though physically he's not present, he's still preaching through his books. And I saw so many examples of that, like one lady, you know, because it's connected to Mayapur, we should mention that one lady in Russia, not a devotee, but she read his book and she knew him as John Favors. And she came to the devotees, because through the book she figured out she connected to Hare Krishna. So she came to the devotees and she said, "How can I meet this man? I'm ready to travel anywhere on the planet just to see him personally." And devotees had to tell her, "Well, unfortunately, physically he's not there with us anymore. He already left this world, but it was the year of opening of his samadhi here in Mayapur." And devotees told her, actually, his shrine, his tomb will be opening in India, in Mayapur. And she was a business lady. She wanted to start her Ayurvedic clinic. And so she was going to go to India anyway to purchase some, you know, medicines for her clinic. And she decided, okay, I'll spend a couple of days going to Mayapur and seeing the, you know, shrine of John Favors, which is opening. And so, but then she decided to do it the very first thing after coming to India, and she came to Mayapur. And there was a plan just to spend 2 days in Mayapur and move on, you know, purchase her medicines and etc. But when she came to Mayapur, she said, "It's an amazing place. I don't know what's so special about this place, but, you know, I feel such an energy that I always just want to cry. I cannot stop crying." And devotees were saying, "Of course, this is not a regular place. It's a spiritual world. Actually, even though geographically it's kind of part of India, but now you're like light ages away from, you know, not only from the earth, not only from this universe, but from the entire material world. You're in the spiritual world. And whatever you see is just external covering." And she said, "Oh yeah, I feel it." And then devotees encouraged her to chant japa and follow everything. So she ended up, she actually like couldn't leave Mayapur. She became so attached. All her time she spent in Mayapur. And she ended up going on parikrama, and Japataka Maharaj encouraged her to go bare feet. And she ended up chanting like 32 rounds a day on parikrama, etc., etc. And just, you know, last couple of days, because she still had to purchase her medicines, you know, she managed to tear herself away from Mayapur and go and do the purchases and, you know, go back to Russia. So that, you know, and we owe that to Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, you know, because with his books, he is reaching out to people with his preaching. This is called creativity. With his preaching, he is reaching out to people most of the devotees would probably never reach. And so he is a very bright example of taking seriously Srila Prabhupada's instructions. And so we pray to serve him and follow in his wonderful footsteps, to utilize our creativity in spreading Krishna consciousness, because the world needs it very desperately. We can understand it, and it's up to us how fast Krishna consciousness will spread. So thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, I was not looking at the watch, but I think our time is over. We have 5 minutes over the schedule, so we'll finish here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj ki jai. Gaur Premanande.